Open your Bibles up today to Mark, the book of Mark. We're going to be in Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, looking at verses 13 through 18. Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. The title of the sermon today is, What is Success? What is Success? Mark chapter 3, looking at verses 13 through 18. Here's what God's word has to say. It says, And he went up on the mountain, and he called to him those who he himself wanted. And they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, that he might send them out to preach, and to have power to heal sickness, and to cast out demons. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who was also betrayed him. And they went into a house. Let's bow our heads and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you today, God, to acknowledge who you are, Lord. God, you're the creator. Lord, there's nothing that you can't do. God, just like you sent these 12 men, these 12 disciples to go out and heal sicknesses and to cast out demons and to share your word, God, you send us also to go and accomplish those very things. Lord, I pray, God, that you would empower us through this service today. Lord, that we would leave stronger than that which we come in. Lord, I pray, God, that you would watch over our families, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us, Lord. I pray, God, that you would minister to us in our service today, Lord. You've done so many great things for us, Lord. You've given us offers on houses. Praise you, God. You've helped us with job interviews. Lord, we praise you for that, Lord. God, you've taken away back pain from Sister Judy. Praise God for that. Lord, you're working on the eyes of Brother George and Sister Carol, and God will give you praises for that. Sister Lorene had another birthday, and Brother Ronnie, and so, God, we just thank you for those things. Lord, so many great things, Lord, are taking place. God, we're just privileged to be part of your family and to be part of your church, Lord. Please use me, Lord, and use me however you can, Lord, to deliver the message. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would touch every single person in the congregation today. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do, but thank you most for sending your only begotten Son to go to the cross, because without that, Lord, without the forgiveness of sin, without the remission of sin, God, we'd have no hope. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son Jesus to earth to teach us what love is about. And friendship, and caring, and serving. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. For it's in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So what is the meaning of success? Have you ever asked yourself that question? If you've ever taken a business class, if you've ever taken a college class before, people try to define success. What does it mean to be successful? Now, the world may give you different answers, and does give different answers than the scripture does. You see, the success in the world, it might mean money. It might mean fame, power, possessions. But I dare to tell you today that success is none of those things. If those are things that you want to achieve, then you may never be successful in life, in all that God has for you. Today I want to talk to you about a man. A man who was a success, but you probably don't know anything about him. In fact, I don't know much about him myself. But he's a man who was part of a group that was more famous than the Beatles. He's a man that has done so many great things, but none of them we've ever heard of. None of them were ever written down. He's a man who helped change many lives, but I can't tell you how he changed those lives. You say, well, who is this man that you speak of? Who is this great man that's more famous than any of the members of the Beatles? Who's done all these great things, but they haven't been written down? Who's changed all these lives, but we don't know how he's changed those lives? Who is this man? This man's name is Thaddeus, and he was one of the Lord's disciples, one of the 12 chosen few. You see, we've all heard about Bible heroes like Moses and Abraham and David and Sarah. We've all heard about those Bible heroes. We've all heard of great preachers like Zane Brooks and Josh Bush, Tim Stringer, and A.J. Warden. We've all heard of those. We've all heard of great activists like Martin Luther King Jr. or Rosa Parks or Harriet Tubman. But what about Brother Jim Brewer? Man who's filling in at the First Topeka Baptist Church for over a year while they're looking for another pastor. Have you ever heard about him? What about a man named Reverend Keith Woody? A man who faithfully pastored the people in the states of Oklahoma and Texas for over 40 years and pastored up until the day that he died. Literally, the day he passed away, he was traveling to a church one Sunday morning to preach, and he had a heart attack. Have you ever heard of him? While their names may not be in the spotlights, I tell you that if they were where God has placed them to be, doing what God is calling them to do, then they have been successful in God's eyes. You see, Paul tells us in Colossians 3:23, he says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto the men." So you ask yourself again, what is success? What is success? You see, you might never be famous. You may never have your name in the Emporia newspaper. You may never have your name in highlights or spotlights in Hollywood. You may never be wealthy beyond measure or have a huge 401k. You might not even be able to retire at the age of 55. But if you're a child of God, you're special. This morning, as we look at the Word of God today, we're going to find that God doesn't measure success the way that people measure success. God doesn't measure success the way people measure success. So I want to take some time, and I want to look at this man that many of the people of the world might call him a nobody, because we don't know much about him. But I want to take time this morning and talk about a man whose name is Thaddeus. A man who made a huge impact in the Lord's life. And while many other people may not know much about him, Jesus certainly knew he was a somebody. And so my first point I want to touch on today is, people may not know your name, but Jesus does. The man we're talking about here in Scripture today, he had several different names. That was common back in the days. Several different names. He was called Lebaeus in Matthew 10:3. He was called Judas, brother of James, in Luke chapter 6, verse 16. He is called Judas, not Iscariot, in John 14:22. And here in Mark 3:18, his name is called Thaddeus. You know, it's human nature for all of us to want a little bit of recognition, isn't it? Don't you want to be recognized for the good things you do? If anybody wants to be recognized for what they do, raise your hand. Sometimes you want that, right? You want a promotion. You want to be known that you've done something good in your life. When you go and you pass away, you want people to say something good about you, don't you? And so that's only natural. People go to great lengths to stand out from the crowd, to be unique, to be different. If you walk around Austin, Texas, their theme of their city is Keep Austin Weird. And I'm telling you, it's weird. As you walk around, you'll find some strange-looking people. You'll find some strange-looking things. And they're proud of that. They want to be unique. We want to stand out. We want to have a name. And so think about this. In England, there's Prince Charles. He's the heir. But if he chooses not to take the heir to the throne, there's Prince William. And then there's Prince Harry. Prince Harry's often been referred to is the spare. No. Meaning that he is the spare, meaning that if all goes wrong, then he may have the opportunity, to be able to be king. But when I say all goes wrong, I mean that Prince Charles has to pass away, Prince William and his kids have to pass away. There's a long road of things that would have to go wrong. But my point is, how would you like to be known as the spare? I wouldn't want to be known as the spare. How many of you want to be known as so-and-so's little brother or so-and-so's little sister? How many of you want to be known as so-and-so's wife or so-and-so's husband? You have your own name. You want to be known by your name, amen? Absolutely. So who is this Thaddeus guy? And why don't we know much about him? Well, throughout the Bible, you won't see that Thaddeus preached a powerful sermon. It's not written down anywhere. You won't see him specifically ever healing anybody. You won't ever specifically see him casting out any demons. And so say, well, Pastor, why is that we're talking about this guy? Well, just because we don't read about those things don't mean that they didn't happen. I think it's very probable that they did happen because of what the scripture says in Mark 6, 7. Listen to this. It says, and Jesus called to him the 12. Thaddeus was part of that. And he began to send them forth two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many that were sick. And he healed them. You see, just because we don't read of all the things Thaddeus did doesn't mean Thaddeus didn't do anything. Doesn't mean Thaddeus wasn't important. You see, Thaddeus, he may not have been a Peter or an Andrew, but Jesus didn't want him to be a Peter or an Andrew. Peter created Thaddeus to be Thaddeus. I mean, Jesus did. And Jesus created you to be who you are. He doesn't want you to be somebody else. He wants you to be who you are. And so today you might look at other people. You might look at other pastors or teachers or actors or actresses, and you might want to be like those people. But you know what? Jesus didn't create you to be like those people. He created you to be who you are. You might look and say, well, look at all these opportunities that those famous people had. Boy, I'd like to have those. Look at all these talents those people had. Boy, I'd like to have those. You might envy some of the success that those people have. But you aren't them. God has another path for you. And God's path for you is better than any of those other things you could want anyway. And you say, why? Well, it's because it's God's specific path for you. Again, don't compare yourself to anybody else. You have a name, and God created you with that. And God wants you to be the person who He created you to be. He doesn't want you to be like anybody else. The second thing is we see, people may not realize your worth, but God realizes what your worth is. If you look back in Mark 3, verses 13 through 15, listen to this. It says, and he went up on the mountain, and he called to him those who he himself wanted. And they came to him, and he appointed the 12, that he might be with him, and he might send out them to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses, and to cast out demons. For whatever record, if you look in the Bible, you won't see that there's an in-depth story or an in-depth record about this guy, Thaddeus. Just isn't one there. But that doesn't mean that he was important. That doesn't mean that he wasn't valuable. If you think about this time when Jesus was choosing the 12, there was a couple people following him around, Sister Carol, just a couple. The Bible says multitudes. Do you know how many people that is? Bunch. Yeah, that's a good summary. I don't know either. There's a lot of people. I mean, I don't know if you've been to a big concert or a big Chiefs game. If you went to a big Chiefs game and they lost, I'm sorry. That's typically how it goes if you go to a Chiefs game. But anyway, like kind of like going to a K-State game, you know, just those things happen. But anyway, if you see all those people, all those crowds of people, and can you imagine all those people are following Jesus, and out of the multitudes, he picks 12. And one of those 12 was Thaddeus. So folks, I want you to know whatever service you're doing, whatever your task that Jesus has chosen for you, it's an honor for you to serve our Lord and Savior. Don't let the world tell you your service is insignificant. You have been created for something, something that God wants you to do that nobody else has. Think about this. There is 7.5 billion people in the world. 7.5 billion people in the world. And he called your name. Jeremiah 1:5 says, he knew you before you were knit together in your mother's womb. 7.5 billion people, and he knew you. And he had a plan for you. You know, he placed you at that job in that maintenance position, Bill and David, for a reason. He put you in that job you're at for a reason. You know, Angela, he put you as a teacher of that specific class to have an impact on those children's lives. You know, he placed some of you in the factories that you work to be able to reach those coworkers when you go to the break room. He placed you as a mother, a father, a grandmother, a grandfather, so that that child would have an eternal impact on your life. He placed you on that assembly line to lead that person next to you to the Lord Jesus Christ. That person in your group, that person in your family, they're there for a reason. Whatever your situation, God chose you. We all have a calling. The question is, will you treasure the calling that God has given you? Or will you waste it worrying about what you don't have? Will you embrace the place of service that God has put you? Or will you become bitter because you compare it to somebody else's? God called you right where you are today for a reason. Think about this. Even before Jesus chose Thaddeus to be a disciple, Thaddeus was precious to Jesus, just like you are. Ephesians 1:4 says, He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. You see, you weren't created to be like anybody else, and that's why you can't be like somebody else. Because you weren't created to be like anybody else. You were created to be you. Just like every snowflake that falls is different, you're created different. God created you that way. If you were an art collector, the best thing you could ever collect is a one-of-a-kind painting. And that's really what you are. A bunch of one-of-a-kind paintings that Jesus Christ painted with His own hand. Isn't that beautiful? Folks, you are valuable. You are important. And the Lord wants to use you. You are unique. And so far we learned by studying Thaddeus that people may not know your name, but Jesus does. People may not realize your worth, but Jesus does. And the last thing I want to share is people may not recognize your effort, but Jesus does. You know what? In my 20 years of ministry, I never heard a sermon preached on Thaddeus. Never heard one. I never did a Bible study on Thaddeus. Never. That I can remember. So if this guy is so important, how come somebody who's been in the ministry 20 years never heard about him? Well, we read about him and we gloss over him, but we don't look into his life. He is important. Jesus chose out of all those multitudes for him to be one of the 12 disciples. The fact is, maybe you never get the pat on the back that you deserve for all the hard work that you've done. Maybe people will never see or realize all the things you do in your life. They might not see the long hours you work or the late nights you stay up praying for them. They might not know the financial sacrifices that you've made. They might not know the emotional burnout that you have or the struggles you've endured for them. And you may never get that pat on the back, that promotion, or that reward that you want. But Jesus knows what you've done. He's seen your work. He knows your heart. And you know what? There are rewards for people like you and me in heaven for those that are simply faithful in doing whatever Jesus calls to do them. It may not be so rewarding to plunge the toilet in the church. But if that's what your job is to do, then praise the Lord. Plunge that thing with all your worth. It may not be the greatest calling in the world to be a garbage man. But if you're called to be a garbage man, you take out those people's trash with pride. If you're called to be an employer at a company in a fast food chain, that might not be the greatest job in the world. You might be slipping and sliding on grease. You might have demanding customers. I don't want any pickles on that. No mustard. Extra mayonnaise, please. Messing up orders, getting yelled at. But by golly, you do it the best you can because your Lord and Savior is Jesus Christ. Being successful doesn't mean you own a multi-million dollar corporation. Being successful might be you being the janitor at that multi-million dollar corporation. You know why? Because that's where God put you to serve Him. And if you're serving Him the best you can there, then you are successful in God's eyes. The world doesn't know what success looks like. God sees your faithfulness, folks, and He'll reward it. So don't waste your time waiting for that big opportunity to come. Don't waste your time looking for someone else's blessing. Serve faithfully wherever He puts you and do what He's called you to do. I heard one person say, and many different pieces of artwork say, bloom where you're planted. And it's a good point. Stop waiting for the next thing. where you are, serve God in whatever He's given you. It doesn't matter if you're the CEO company, or you're the person that waters the plant, or the person that comes in and sweeps the driveway. Whatever job you have, do it as unto the Lord. We don't have the backstory of Thaddeus' life, but we know that he served the Lord. Peter and Jesus were having this conversation, talking about rewards, and Thaddeus was included. In Matthew 19, 27 and 28, Peter says this in reply. Says, see, we have left everything and we followed you, Jesus. What then will we have? Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Church, don't be discouraged. The world may not recognize your effort. You may never be rewarded here for all the great things that you do, but Jesus has way more in store for you than you could ever imagine. Not only do you get eternal life in heaven, which, hey, that sounds like a pretty good deal, right? Especially when you compare it to the opposite, burning in hell and flesh melting off you. I think I'll take the heaven option. But also your rewards are huge in heaven. Listen to this, what it says in Matthew 6:19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Folks, every deed done in the name of Jesus will be rewarded in eternity. But so often, if you look at your life today, and I want you to really do this, look at your life and see, why do I work so hard? Why is money so important to me? Why are things so important to me? Is it because you want to look better than your neighbor to try to keep up with the Joneses? Is it because you want to have more than your parents had? Why are all those things so important to you when all they're going to do is crumble and fall apart? When you hear this scripture and it says, your rewards will be in heaven if you're focusing on heavenly treasures. Don't you think heavenly treasures are more important than earthly treasures? Where are you going to live longer, Brother Bill, in heaven or in earth?
In heaven.
Absolutely, brother. Earth, you may live 60, 70, 80, 100 years. But in heaven, how long are you going to live for?
Eternity.
Eternity. Yep. So, do I want to drive a Lamborghini down here? And at the expense of letting 15 people know about Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. I mean, I'm a car guy. I'd like to have a Lamborghini. But if you can trade a Lamborghini for 15 people knowing Jesus Christ, I'll take the 15 people every chance. Or if you even say, well, you could have a Lamborghini, Pastor, or you could have one person come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I'll take that one person. If you say, well, Pastor, you can have a Lamborghini or the chance to tell one person about Jesus Christ, I'll take the chance to tell somebody about Jesus Christ because that's going to change their life forever. Some of the reasons you work so hard, that you have so much debt on your credit cards, so much problems in finances, is because you're so focused on things of this world that are just going to rust, moths are going to destroy, and thieves are going to steal. Amen. What's more important to you today? To be known by the world or to be known by Jesus? The world may not recognize your effort, but Jesus knows exactly where your effort is. Mark 9:41 says, for whoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, you shall not lose your reward. Now I'm going to be honest with you today. I know life is tough. Does anybody have a tough life sometimes? Yeah, life is tough. You have health problems, medical problems. You have financial problems. You have job problems, people problems. There's lots of problems in life. Life is tough. And I know sometimes life can be discouraging. I've been there. I know what it feels like when you've done everything you can do, and at the end of the day, you feel like you've done it all in vain. You feel like you're wasting your time. You feel sometimes like you just want to throw up your hands and quit. And the world says you should. The enemy says you should. Heck, you even think you should sometimes. You look at other people prospering, they're doing great. You're trying to do the right thing. You're working hard. And what do you have? Nothing. And so you think, why am I doing this? Folks, I'm not Joel Osteen. I have nothing against the man, but I want to tell you the truth today. You may never have anything the world sees as valuable. You may never drive a nice car. You may never have great power. You may never have prominence or possessions or property. But if you're a child of God and you're doing what the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to do, that's better than any of those worldly things. And that's the truth. You know, someday, every single one of us is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That could be a scary day for you. Or it could be a great day. 2 Corinthians 5:10 puts it like this. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And at that judgment seat, there's going to be crowns, the Bible says, given to the faithful. I've read of at least 5 different crowns in the Word of God. Things that I hope to obtain someday. The first one is the incorruptible crown. This is awarded for faithfulness to the Lord. You can read about it in 1 Corinthians 9:25. The second is the crown of life. This is for the person who has endured and overcomes temptation. You can read about that in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 12. Then there's the crown of rejoicing. This is the soul winner's crown in 1 Thessalonians 2:19. The fourth is a crown of righteousness. This will be given to those who anticipate and live in the light of the return of Jesus. You can read about that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Then there's the crown of glory that will be given to the faithful ministers who give themselves to lend and feed of the flock. That doesn't just mean ministers as in pastors. All of us are ministers of the Word of God. Amen. It's 1 Peter 5:4. We may not know many details of Thaddeus' story, but I can assure you that man stored up some treasures in heaven. I want to leave you thinking with this story. There was a preacher of a small church of about 30 people. And he was depressed. He worked hard to put together the sermons. He tried to visit everybody in the hospital and their homes if he could. He was dedicated to the study of God's Word. And even more than the study of God's Word, this man was dedicated to prayer. He was getting ready for a Sunday morning service one time, and one of the elders came up to him in the church. He said, "Pastor, can I have a word with you before we go into Sunday morning worship?" And he said, "Well, sure, come on in." That elder came in and he said, "Pastor, I don't know what you've been doing the last year, but whatever you've been doing, it's not working. We don't have not one new member." Well, I guess we do have one. He's a little boy, if that counts. "We haven't had anybody baptized. We haven't had anybody dedicate their life to Christ. We haven't even had anybody at an altar in a year. So I don't know what you're doing, Pastor, but you're not doing it right." And the pastor had a tear come out of his eyes. He was in his 60s and his hands started to tremble. And he said, "I don't know. I'm doing the best that I can. I don't know what else to do." And he said, "Well, I guess we could talk about this more with the board later. It's time for Sunday service." And that's how he began his Sunday morning sermon. He came up with a broken heart, feeling like he didn't matter to the church. He didn't matter to the world, and he was failing God. How do you give a message like that? But he got up anyway because that's what he was supposed to do. And he gave a message the best he knew how. Afterwards, he started cleaning up the pews, the bulletins, tissues, things like that. People left quickly after service. But the little boy stayed behind, the new one. And he came up, and he tugged on the pastor's coat, and he said, "Pastor, can I talk to you for a minute?" And he's just kind of brokenhearted, thinking to himself, "I'm just going to resign. The elders are right. I'm not helping the work of God here. I just need to resign." He sits down and the little boy talks to him, and the little boy says, what do I have to do so that I can be like you? I want to be a preacher someday. I want to be a minister of God. How do I learn to do that? I want to be you. He said, because you look like this guy that we talked about today, Jesus. That young man left. He was a missionary in Africa. He reached some of the most savage chiefs in the entire region. Many people's lives were touched. God had a plan for that pastor. And he had a plan for that little boy. Nobody else might have been able to see it. But had that pastor not got up after that elder had even got after him, had he not got up in here and he had not delivered that message, that little boy would have never become a preacher potentially. You may not understand the things of the world. The world may not know your name. They may not think the things that you do are valuable. But Jesus knows. And isn't that what's most important? Yes, sir. The Bible says he knows your name. He knows your every thought. He knows each tear you cry and catches you when you fall. As I close this message today, the close of Thaddeus' life was a tough one. Fox's Book of Martyrs records that Thaddeus, or Jude, he was crucified in Edessa in AD 72. Others believed he was pierced with arrows because he wouldn't denounce his faith. But however he had passed away, he was bold. He was faithful to the end. And he was somebody. I want you to know today. Actually, Jesus wants you to know today. The world may not know your name. They may not realize your worth. And they may not recognize your effort. But Jesus does. Isn't all that matters? True success doesn't lie in wealth and fame and power and possessions. True success is living your life for Jesus Christ. The one who loves you more than a brother. The one who knows you by your name. And who has had a plan for you even before you were born in your mother's womb. You are important. You have a purpose. You, out of the 7.5 billion people in the world, were created with a plan that God has only for you. Enjoy your uniqueness. Enjoy the person that you are. And spend as much time with the Lord as you can, living in His will. Jesus loves you, and He knows your name. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today. The world shows us that success is a much different thing than we have. And it's not true. Success is much different than what the world shows us. God, help us to understand, Lord, that you see everything that we do. You know every tear that falls. You know everything that we're going through. And Lord, we know you love us today, but maybe there's somebody here that needs some reassurance. Maybe there's somebody here today that feels like nobody knows their name. Nobody knows what they're going through. Nobody knows the struggles that they have. Thaddeus may not have been well known in Scripture for anything other than being a disciple of Jesus Christ. But that means that he served the Lord, and he served the Lord well. Thaddeus was a success. Lord, help us not to let the world define what success is to us. Help us, Lord, to let you define that. Lord, as we go to you today and we open these altars up for anybody who wants to pray, God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us to know how valuable we are. Help us to know how loved we are. And help us to know, Lord, that you have a plan and a purpose for us. And help to reassure us, Lord, that no matter what happens on the face of this earth, someday we'll be with you in heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you do for us. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. I have a maker.